Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, April 17th. We're getting a little bit of rain here in North Texas. Other than that, it's another beautiful day in spring. Today, we're going to look at a couple of big stories in the news. North Korea. I have a post about this that I want to share with you because I think it's unsustainable, what's happening with North Korea. It's just totally, completely unsustainable. And then I want to share the post that I had this morning over at the American Thinker about the special election in Georgia. And I think the Democrats are trying to turn this election into a national referendum on President Trump. I don't think they're going to succeed, but there are some interesting lessons that one can only always learn from these special elections. And a lot of talk about, you know, President Trump flip-flopping and going this way when he said this in the campaign. I don't see it that way. I really don't. I don't see it that way. I don't think he's flip-flopping at all. I think he's basically sticking to the foreign policy. Now, what happened in Syria, I don't think that's flip-flopping. I think that's just good leadership. I mean, if you have a person using chemical weapons like Assad, why wouldn't you do something about it? Especially when the United States was on record saying that he shouldn't do stuff like this. So I don't think he's flip-flopping at all. I think he's actually, when it comes to foreign policy, I think he's actually doing quite well. We're also going to go back today and look at a couple of big events in recent memory that had a big impact, certainly on me as a person, and that is the 1961 Bay of Pigs, and then in 1970, Apollo 13. So we'll look at those two stories later on, but let's begin with North Korea. I mentioned that it's unsustainable. And I have a post at the American Thinker talking about this, or will have a post on Tuesday morning talking about this. The problem that I see with North Korea is that for years, I mean, we've known about North Korea for, heck, I can go back to 1968 when they took that American ship, you know, the Pueblo, and they held all those American sailors. I mean, this goes back a while. It's not like, you know, North Korea just started misbehaving last week. But it seemed like for a while there, North Korea was just content being North Korea. Obviously, they always had their military parades and, you know, put on a show and kept threatening South Korea. But it was, you know, a containable, a sustainable situation, something that you could live with. Here more recently, in the last couple of years, the situation with North Korea has really become dangerous. And now you're dealing with a crisis of a potential war. North Korea continues to shoot these missiles. And you begin to wonder after a while, you know, what is going on? Is one of these missiles going to hit a ship? Is one of these missiles? I mean, because they don't seem to, you know, their technology is a bit backward, if I could put it that way. Their technology is sort of, how can I put it, not the most finessed kind of technology. So, you know, they fire a missile, it explodes. So what if one of these days they fire a missile, for example, and accidentally it hits South Korea, or it hits one of our ships, or God forbid it hits our troops on the border? What happens then? Well, you're going to have a war if that happens. So my whole point about North Korea, and that's why I say it's unsustainable, is that I think we have reached the point right now where something has to be done about North Korea. Something has to be done. Now, so far, I think President Trump is doing the right thing. He seems to be running on two fronts. He is obviously talking tough about North Korea. You had Vice President Pence right on the border today talking tough about North Korea. So that's a good thing. We're talking tough about North Korea, and that's a good thing. At the same time, we seem to be negotiating very tough with the Chinese. And we're basically telling the Chinese, hey, well, you got to help us with this. It's not in your interest either to have this kind of a crazy situation. I'm expecting, I really am, I'm putting a lot of hope on these negotiations with China, because I think the Chinese have got to be worried about what North Korea is doing, because after all, they don't want to be involved in, they don't want a war in that part of the world. Let's just put it that way. That the Korean Peninsula is not a place that the Chinese would like to see a war. The Chinese, it seems to me, are more interested right now in commerce and making deals, and they're not really interested that much in getting into a war over North Korea. So I'm putting my money right now on negotiations with China. I think that's what President Trump is doing as well. And let's hope it works, because the situation with North Korea, and I'll repeat what I'm publishing tomorrow morning at my post, the situation with North Korea is absolutely unsustainable. You simply cannot continue to have this crazy fellow firing off missiles and living in a state of war. I mean, you just can't do that. At some point, a war is going to happen. If you keep acting like you're in a war, at some point there could be a war, and that's just something that's unsustainable, as I say in my Tuesday morning post. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back with the second part of our show. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. The other big story happening in the country this week is the election, the special election in Georgia. And this is, of course, a special election to replace Dr. Price, who represented that district and is now serving in President Trump's cabinet as the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Obviously, I'm not an expert in Georgia congressional elections, but from what I've been able to read, this is a fairly conservative district. And what you now have, what you will have on Tuesday, is that there will be somebody like 18 or 19 people running for that particular seat. There's one Democrat, and he seems to have organized the Democrats quite well. Then there's like 16 or 17 Republicans who are running. There may be a couple of independents, maybe a Libertarian, I'm not exactly sure. But altogether, 18 or 19 people running. In a normal, you know, in a normal year, I suppose a couple of Republicans would win and head off to a runoff, or one Republican would win and get 51%, because there are so many Republicans running. My guess, and I'm going to take the advice of some people there in the district, what they're telling me, what I'm hearing from people in the district, journalists, Republicans in the district, is that this is going to a runoff. This is not going to be settled on Tuesday night, that this is going to go to a runoff. And it could very well be that one Democrat who gets the highest percentage of the vote on Tuesday, but he's going to get something in the 40s. So he's not going to get the 51 that he needs to win the seat. And then this particular Democrat, whose name I believe is O-S-O-F-F, I think it's Ossoff, is going to, I believe that's his name. With all due respect, I may be mispronouncing his name. But anyway, this is the gentleman who's running. He'll probably get 42, 43, maybe even 46% of the vote, but it's not going to be 50, so he's going to have to go to a runoff. And then from what I hear in the district, there's a lady who seems to be the Republican who will probably do best. And then these two will face off in a conventional Republican-Democrat election at some point in June, at which time I think that the Democrats' appeal will really hit the ceiling, because then he's going to be running against a Republican. And if you, I went to the website, and I talk about this in my American Thinker article this morning, I went to the Democrats' website. He's running a what I would call a campaign based on generalities. You know, he's for affordable health care. He's for jobs. Well, everybody's for that. But when you get into a campaign against a Republican, he's going to have to be a lot more specific about what he means about affordable health care and jobs and Planned Parenthood and all of these kinds of things. So my sense is that we're going to have a runoff. I'll just repeat it. I think there's going to be a runoff after Tuesday night. And then sometime in June, I guess they will settle this. And if it goes to a runoff, my sense is that the Republican will win in June, simply because this is a district where the Republicans have won most elections for the last 30 or 40 years. So that's what I think. There's going to be a runoff. I suppose it could be a shocker that this gentleman, the Democrat Party candidate, wins. That could be a shocker. But I don't see any numbers to suggest that, and I don't see any feeling from the ground. There was even a story that there was very heavy early voting among Democrats, but that appears to have evened out right now. There was also a story at the end of last week that the Republicans are now catching up, even surpassing Democrats on early voting. So we don't know for sure. We don't know one way or the other. Let's just say I think it's going to a runoff. That much I can predict tonight about this particular election. A couple of big things that happened on April 17th that I want to touch a little bit on. One is April 17th, 1961. This is the day of the Bay of Pigs. And of course, for people like me, Cuban Americans who grew up in the United States, this is a very important date, because this was really the date where I believe an opportunity was missed to overthrow Fidel Castro. And if you really want to get a sense of what happened that day, I did an interview with Humberto Fontova, who's a great Cuban writer. And I did an interview with him, and I have it on my blog this morning. The interview goes back several years, but the content is still very much correct. And we talked a little bit about the planning and what went wrong that day, and basically everything went wrong that day. And it's a shame, because the men who landed that morning in Cuba 56 years ago, they landed to liberate Cuba, and they just didn't get the support from the Kennedy administration that they were expecting. Now, the Kennedy people say, well, we never promised them anything. Well, okay, maybe so. But certainly they landed at that beach believing that they had been promised something that day, that they were going to get American support. Not an American invasion, but maybe a couple of displays of American support that I think would have tipped the balance in their favor. So we remember today the men, the very brave men, of what was known as Brigade 2506. And that was the name of the brigade that made up the Bay of Pigs invasion. The other big story from April 17th, this goes to 1970. This is the day that Apollo 13 came safely back to Earth. And those of us who remember the whole turmoil, the whole crisis, of course, it's all been revisited in a really good movie that came out in the mid-90s with Tom Hanks. That was an excellent movie, no question about it. So you can watch that movie and really get caught up in the entire series of events. But I remember being there, and I remember first hearing about the problems at Apollo 13, and I remember the day they came back, and you know, everybody tuned into the radio waiting for that reentry. I remember all of that quite well. And it was a time that kind of brought the world together. And if I have to tell you that when I look back at that whole Apollo 13 and the crew and the members, the people in Houston, it seems to me there's one line, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it was in the movie. And the line was, failure is not an option. And that was it. Failure is not an option. In other words, we're simply not going to fail. Under no circumstances are we going to fail. And I've often felt that that is one of the greatest lines. It applies to, obviously, the space program. It applies to life. It applies to business. It's just a great line, and something that I always stuck with, and something that I always think about when I think back on this particular day, April 17th, 1970, when Apollo 13 came back to Earth. Well, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thank you for listening. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.